जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरा वनचारी यमुना तीरा वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरा वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव राधा माधव राधे जय राधा गोपीनाथ राधा गोपीनाथ राधे जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद Nitya Gaura Haribo, Haribo, Haribo. Nitya Gaura Haribo. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय.
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 13 एंटाइटल्ड Dhritarashtra quits home. Text number 24. Agnir Nishrishta Dattascha Garodarascha Dushita Hritam Shetram Dhanam Yesham तद्दत्तेर असुबीकियत अग्निर्निश्रिष्ट दत्तस्च गरोदारस्च दूषिता हृतं क्षेत्रं धनं येषां तद्दत्तेर असुबीकियत अग्नि निश्रिष्ट दत्तस्च गरोदारस्च दूषिता हृतं क्षेत्रं धनं येषां तद्दत्तेर अशुभी कियत्. Agni, fire. Nishrishtaha, set. Dattaha, given. Cha, and. Garaha, poison. Daraha, married wife. Cha, and. Dushita, insulted. Hritam, usurped. Kshetram, kingdom. Dhanam, wealth. Yesham, of those. Tat, there. Dattai, given by. Ashubhi, subsisting. Kiyat, is unnecessary. Translation. There is no need to live a degraded life and subsist on the charity of those whom you try to kill by arson and poisoning. You also insulted one of their wives and usurped their kingdom and wealth. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The system of Varnashram religion sets aside a part of one's life completely for the purpose of self-realization and attainment of salvation in the human form of life. That is a routine division of life. But persons like Dhritarashtra, even at their very ripened age, want to stay home even in a degraded condition of accepting charity from enemies. Vidura wanted to point this out and impressed upon him that it was better to die like his sons than accepting such humiliating charity. 5,000 years ago, there was one Dhritarashtra, but at the present moment, there are Dhritarashtras in every home. Politicians especially do not retire from political activities unless they are dragged by the cruel hand of death or killed by some opposing element. To stick to family life to the end of one's human life is the grossest type of degradation, and there is an absolute need for the Viduras to educate such Dhritarashtras even at the present moment.
Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutaha Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Shute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhyeva cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. Seeking the blessings of all the exalted souls assembled here, especially we have an exalted Prabhupada disciple, Udayanand Prabhu, seeking a blessing so to speak something. Very grateful to each and every one of you all for having come here on this auspicious occasion of Bhadra Purnima. Today is a very, very auspicious day, and the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 12th canto, says that anyone who distributes Srimad Bhagavatam on the day of Bhadra Purnima, they get access to the spiritual world. Of course, distribution is not only from a physical point of view, but also is about oral distribution, any kind of connection with Srimad Bhagavatam, you get access to the spiritual world. So keeping that in mind, so we are going to speak today about the glory of Srimad Bhagavatam and the relevance of Srimad Bhagavatam in our lives. And I'm going to tell you all some very, very amazing things about Srimad Bhagavatam and about people who have read the Srimad Bhagavatam that will inspire us in our journey to study and absorb ourselves in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, by the mercy of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, His Divine Grace, the founder of the Hare Krishna movement, we have access to Srimad Bhagavatam because he decided to preach the message of Srimad Bhagavatam in the English speaking world. All of us have some access to the greatness of this vast literature. There are two types of Bhagavats. There is a Pustak Bhagavat and there is a Vyakti Bhagavat. Pustak Bhagavat is what we are reading from, what we are listening to. But Vyakti Bhagavat is a person who emulates the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam. So sometimes when we read the book Bhagavatam, we may not understand some of the deeper insights and some of the deeper moods. But when we actually observe a great Bhagavat like Prabhupada, you actually get access to every single thing that the Bhagavatam is trying to teach us. And the idea of Srimad Bhagavatam is more appropriate when we have access to the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. So keeping that in mind, we take the blessings of Srila Prabhupada to glorify Srimad Bhagavatam in an appropriate way. Srimad Bhagavatam is compared to cotton. I'm sure all of us have seen cotton, right? Rui, cotton, kapus, whatever you can call it, you know. If you take a piece of cotton and you press it, you can actually squeeze it and it can fit into a small matchbox. It can fit into anything small. But the same piece of cotton, if you stretch it into a thread, it can become probably kilometers long, you know. So Srimad Bhagavatam is exactly like that. Srimad Bhagavatam is like cotton. If you want to speak it in short, you can speak it in, you know, 1 hour. But if you want to elaborate it, you can keep speaking for days and days together, it will still not get over. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur spoke on the first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam for 64 days. Imagine, only the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam he spoke for 64 days. He could have probably gone on for the rest of his life also speaking. So there is no length and breadth of Srimad Bhagavatam. Usually, the speakers of the idea of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavat Saptas are there all over India because Parikshit Maharaj, the original hearer of Srimad Bhagavatam, heard it in 7 days. But obviously, most people who go to the Bhagavat Saptas also, they give 7 hours literally, you know. So how much can you speak? And as I said, that 7 days is not enough to actually do justice to Srimad Bhagavatam. It can be stretched for thousands of days. One time, when I was very young, I think I was about 18 or 19 at that point, I met His Grace Gopi Parandan Prabhu, who was one of the exalted Vaishnavas who helped us translate a lot of sections of Srimad Bhagavatam also. In my naivety, I just had passed out from engineering, so I had this pride of being a intelligent guy, and you know, went up to him and I asked him, Prabhu, I want to master the Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, please tell me what is the best way to master the Srimad Bhagavatam. 18,000 verses. And Gopi Parandan Prabhu told me something I can never forget in my life. And I think I'm trying to live by what he said. He said, Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna. And he said, you can never master Krishna. He said, whatever you hear, whatever you read, whatever you absorb, try to live by it and try to apply it in your life and try to absorb as much as you can in your little capacity. He said, you can never master Krishna and nobody can ever master Krishna. That day, I understood. I stopped trying to think in that direction, you know, that one day I will know everything of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's not possible only. It's an ocean, basically. So, when we understand the greatness of Srimad Bhagavatam, first, we need to understand who is Srimad Bhagavatam. Why am I saying who is Srimad Bhagavatam? I'm not saying what is Srimad Bhagavatam. I'm saying who is Srimad Bhagavatam. Because Srimad Bhagavatam is not a book, not just a book. It's a person. And the identity of Srimad Bhagavatam is given in the book itself. Who is better than introducing us to the person other than the person himself? Nigama kalpataror galitam falam, shukamukad amrita dhruvam samyutam, pibata bhagavatam rasamalayam, muhuraho rasika bhuvi bhavuka. So here, the understanding of the Bhagavat is compared to, so the Vedic scriptures, all the Vedas are compared to a tree. And Srimad Bhagavatam, the essence of a tree is in the fruit. So Srimad Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit of the Vedic tree. And usually Even in a tree, there are unripe fruits and the ripe fruits. The fruits that are really worth eating are the ripest ones. So the Vedas are compared to a huge tree, Nigama Kalpatarur. And Bhagavatam is Galitam Phalam. It's the essence of that ripened tree, which is this ripened fruit. Like if you take a mango, and while eating a mango, there are many obstacles, right? One is to get the right mango, first of all, you know. And even if you get the right mango, there's a skin that you have to deal with. And then if you deal with the skin also, there's a hard, you know, seed you have to deal with. But if you somehow manage to deal with all that complicated parts, then you get the essence of the mango, which is the pulp. So similarly, in this world, all of us are here for rasa or enjoyment. And that rasa or enjoyment is present in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And this rasa or enjoyment is not like the seed and the skin that is tasteless, but it is the pulp which is actually so tasty. So the Bhagavatam is glorified in so many ways, beautiful ways. Sarva Shastrartha Piyusha, Sarva Vedaika Satfala, Sarva Siddhanta Ratnadya, Sarva Lokaika Drikprada, Sarva Bhagavata Prana, Srimad Bhagavata Prabhu, Kali Dvantam Udit Aditya, Shri Krishna Parivartita. So this is a beautiful description of the Bhagavatam. And it actually talks about different levels of how the Bhagavatam is helping us in our lives. So Srimad Bhagavatam here is compared to nectar, Piyusha. So if you churn the milk ocean, what comes out is nectar. Similarly, the milk ocean is compared to the Vedas, and Bhagavatam is a churned out nectar of the Vedas. So Srimad Bhagavatam is compared to a ratnadya or a pendant. And the Vedic scriptures are compared to a necklace. The essence of a necklace is in the pendant. So if there is a beautiful necklace but there is no pendant in it, it's not so beautiful. So the Vedic scriptures are like a necklace, and Bhagavatam is that very special pendant that stands out of the necklace. So now, the Bhagavatam is considered to be Krishna himself. When Shri Krishna left from this world, Yudhishthir Maharaj and the Pandavas, they saw that there was a lot of inauspiciousness because of Krishna not being there. And many people could see ill omens. For example, a lot of us, when we look at, you know, strange things happening in our life, for example, a cat passes our way, we see it as an ill omen, right? So many people have different ways of observing ill omens. When Krishna left in this world, there were so many inauspicious things that were observed. Yudhishthira Maharaj could see hypocrisy, could see fights and duplicity, simply because Krishna was missing in this world. And Yudhishthira Maharaj saw that Arjun's face had become pale, because a devotee, as long as he is in connection with Krishna, his face is brilliant. And as soon as a devotee loses his touch with Krishna, his face becomes dull. And an expert can understand the missing connection. So Krishna is compared to the sun, which comes up when there is darkness. So as soon as the sun comes up, the darkness disappears. So Srimad Bhagavatam here is compared to the sun. Here it is mentioned that Sarva Lokaika Drikprada, Srimad Bhagavatam Prana, Srimad Bhagavatam Prabhu, Kali Dvantva Udit Aditya, Shri Krishna Parivartita. That means, in Kali Yuga, which is a dark age, Srimad Bhagavatam rises up like the sun. And as soon as the sun rises, all the darkness vanishes. Which essentially means that all of us have a lot of darkness in our life. As soon as we allow the sun of Srimad Bhagavatam to rise, the darkness will vanish away. So Srimad Bhagavatam is compared to a pendant, Srimad Bhagavatam is compared to a fruit, Srimad Bhagavatam is compared to prana, life itself. That means without life, how can you live? It's simply a dead body. And Srimad Bhagavatam is Lord Krishna himself. It says, Shri Krishna Parivartita. He, Krishna himself, has appeared in Kali Yuga in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. So the question remains, how is Bhagavatam directly related to my life? To understand this, we should take the example of a fruit. So what does, you know, how does a fruit help us in our life? You know, we hear this English saying, you know, an apple a day keeps a doctor away. You eat fruits, you'll be healthy, basically. So for a diseased person, when they eat fruit, they become stronger. And for a strong person, someone who is already healthy, when they eat fruits, they become more stronger, basically. So Bhagavatam is like a fruit that nourishes us. The Bhagavatam is like the sun. The sun also is important for us. Arka. Arka means sun. So sun nourishes us from outside, just like the fruit nourishes us from inside. So Srimad Bhagavatam nourishes us both externally and internally. So Srimad Bhagavatam is compared to nectar. If a person eats fruit and if a person gets sunlight, still a person dies, isn't it? You may get all the sunlight you want in the world. You can go and tan yourself in the sun. But you'll still die at some day or the other. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam is compared to nectar, because when you drink nectar, you don't die. Nectar of immortality, Piyusha, you remain eternally alive. So Srimad Bhagavatam is compared to Amrit, which means it helps you beyond death also. So Srimad Bhagavatam helps us from within, like the fruit. Srimad Bhagavatam helps us from without, like the sun. And Srimad Bhagavatam makes us immortal, like Amrit. Now, just living is not enough. You know, if you're living, that's not enough. You need to look good also while living, isn't it? And if you want to make ourselves beautiful, one needs to wear ornaments. Abhushan, isn't it? And therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam is compared to ornament also. Ratna Adya. So, it's not that while you're dead, Srimad Bhagavatam helps us. It's not that while you're alive, it helps us at every level. If you want to become beautiful, Srimad Bhagavatam is the pendant. You wear the pendant of Srimad Bhagavatam, you will look beautiful also. And it says Srimad Bhagavatam is not just for someone who is alive. Even a person who is dead, Srimad Bhagavatam helps. So Srimad Bhagavatam is something that is so powerful that no matter at what level you are, it will help you uplift yourself. It will help you take us to the next level. People are so conscious of their bodies. Srimad Bhagavatam helps us transcend these bodies and go to the next level. It helps us recognize prana. Prana means it helps us recognize what real life is. Srila Prabhupada was once in Jhansi. And he was distributing his books. And he gave one man a book known as Easy Journey to Other Planets. And this man, he was fascinated by the book. He asked Srila Prabhupada, if I go to, you know, some other planet, can I come back to Jhansi? Prabhupada asked him, if you go to some other planet, why you want to come back to Jhansi? He said, no, if I can't come back to Jhansi, I don't want to go anywhere else, you know. Unfortunately, people are so attached to this place, people are attached to the things of this world, that when you think of liberation, when you think of being, you know, liberated from the cycle of birth and death, it kind of becomes an obstacle for us. Srimad Bhagavatam helps us not only when we are alive. Srimad Bhagavatam helps us even after we are gone. Very little things can help us after we are gone. Our bank balance can't help us. Our family, friends can't help us. Our relatives can't help us. Our cars and, you know, gadgets can't help us. But Srimad Bhagavatam can help us even then. There's this beautiful story of a Brahmin whose name was Atmadev. He was a very rich Brahmin. You very seldom hear of rich Brahmins. But this is one of them. Atmadev his name was. And though he was so rich, he had no peace at home. There were two reasons why he had no peace at home. One was, he was at the age of 50, but he still didn't have a child. He did so many yajnas, he gave so many cows away in charity, he did so much of pious activities, still he didn't have a child. And the second reason was his wife. His wife's name was Dunduli. And she was so quarrelsome and so dominating, she hardly cared about his well-being. So, you know, she just didn't care about the scriptures, she didn't care about, you know, any pious activities, she only cared about her own selfish interests. And one day, this man, Atmadev, he decided, I'm going to end my life. He went to the forest, and he was sitting on the edge of a lake, thinking that he'll jump into the lake, drown and die. As he was just thinking of, you know, ending his life, a sage came and sat next to him. A sadhu, very powerful sadhu came and sat next to him. And he asked him, he said, the sadhu told him, you look sad. Any problem? Can I help you in some way? So Atmadev began to open his heart. He said, my dear sage, to tell you the truth, I was just going to die over here. Since you have come here, I'll tell you at least why I'm dying and I'll die. And he said, I have no desire to live because I have no hair. And everything in my life has become meaningless. My home has become meaningless. My wealth has become meaningless. My life has become meaningless without having a son. And he said, I don't know how many sins I would have done in my previous life that in my house, even my cow does not give birth to calves. So unfortunate, you know, my life is. And he said, I can't bear to live anymore, you know. The sadhu told him that, you know, he empathized with him. He said, frankly speaking, not just in this life, in the next 17 lives, there is no child in your life. The sadhu told him. And this person was so disappointed, you know. And the sadhu said, my advice to you is just be patient and just tolerate. And this man, he just couldn't understand what is patience and tolerance when the sadhu was telling him. He said, oh saintly person, you are so great, you understand so much, can you please bless me with a child? So the sadhu, you know, he kept telling him, don't go in this direction, don't think of it, and he insisted. The sadhu gave him a fruit, and he told him, go and feed this fruit to your wife, you'll have a child. So this man very happily went and told his wife that the sadhu has given me this fruit, please eat this fruit and we'll have a child. His wife said, okay, okay. And then she started thinking that if I eat this fruit, I'll become pregnant. And if I become pregnant, I'll lose my shape, I'll lose my beauty, and then I'll have to suffer so much. And she said, I don't want to do this. She told her sister who was, you know, with her, and he told her, I have no intention of having a child. And the sister told her, don't worry. You just allow me to help you. And the sister told her, I will bear the child on your behalf. I'm already pregnant. My child you keep. And you tell your husband that this is your child. And this fruit you just throw it away. So this lady listened to her sister. And the sister offered her a lot of money. And the, you know, so this lady took money and she was ready to give her child to this, her sister. And they threw the fruit in the cow shed. And the cow ate the fruit and became pregnant, you know. And here the sister was pregnant. Sister gave birth to a baby. And that baby became Dunduli's son. And he's, you know, he became known as Dundukari. And the cow gave birth to a child which had a very strange feature. It had the body of a human being, only ears of a cow. And because he had ears of a cow, he was called as Gokarna. Karna means ears, you know. But he was an effulgent child. And interestingly, what happened was, the two boys started growing up, but Dundukari became completely mesmerized into all kinds of addictive habits. Gambling and intoxication and all kinds of smoking. He was completely in the wrong vices. And Gokarna became a very pious child. Really. And Atmadev brought both of them up as his own sons. Eventually, Dundukari spoiled all the money that his father had. And the father was frustrated with this boy. And that time, Gokarna spoke to his father and told him, my dear father, you have suffered enough in this world. You go and practice your spiritual life. I will take care of these people. And then the father went away. Eventually, in a matter of time, this Dundukari became such a demonic person, literally, that at one point, he wanted to steal money from his mother. And his mother was just not giving. He killed her. And eventually, he himself jumped into a well and he committed suicide. He also ended his life. Gokarna was feeling bad that his mother and his, you know, brother had to die in such a bad way. Eventually, Gokarna went to Gaya and performed Shraddha for his brother and mother. And when he came back, one day he was in his house, he heard a knock on his door. And he opened the door. It was the ghost of his brother Dundukari who was speaking to him. And the ghost told him, please help me. Gokarna said, I have gone and done Shraddha for you in Gaya. How come you are not delivered? And the ghost of Dundukari said, my sins are so many that even Shraddha in Gaya is not useful. Please do something to deliver me. And at that point of time, Gokarna, he decided to do something to help his brother. He actually stopped Surya, the sun. He was so powerful and so pious. He stopped the sun and he asked Surya, please tell me what I need to do to deliver my brother from his ghostly existence. And Surya Dev told him, the only way this fellow can be delivered is if you recite Srimad Bhagavatam. And Gokarna sat and he told Dundukari, I'm going to recite Bhagavatam. Will you sit here and listen? Dundukari said, anything you tell me, I'll do. And Gokarna said, how will I know that you are liberated? Dundukari said, I'll go into a bamboo stick. And every day, I will break the stick a little. And the day when I'm liberated, the entire stick will break. Then you will know I'm liberated. So Gokarna began reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. And so many people gathered, understanding what is happening here. That a ghost is going to be delivered by the power of Srimad Bhagavatam. And at the end of the entire recitation, every day one part of the bamboo stick will break. And by the end of 7 days of reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, the last stick broke. And Dundukari, right in front of everyone, got a celestial body, got a divine body. And he was going back to the spiritual world, to the Vaikuntha planets. And Dundukari actually thanked his brother. He said, my dear brother, by your mercy, I have been freed from this ghostly body. And hearing the nectarian words of Srimad Bhagavatam, it has given me such a glorious results. And he said, I beg you, give so many others this opportunity to listen to Bhagavatam and liberate them. And then he climbed down to the Vaikuntha planets, to the plane and went to the Vaikuntha planets. ISKCON is actually carrying out this parampara. And every single day across the world, hundreds of ISKCON temples, there is Bhagavatam recital going on. There are people who are ghosts and there are people who behave like ghosts. You know, anyone who comes and attends Srimad Bhagavatam, even if they are not listening really, somewhere they get the benefit of it. Now, Gokarna had a doubt after his brother got liberated. You know, he had a doubt and he realized that ghosts got liberated. But so many other people sitting in the Bhagavatam, they didn't get liberated. So he asked Surya Dev that why did only Dundukari get released? Why not everybody else? And Surya revealed a secret of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, which is very important for all of us to learn. He said, you recite it for all, but it depends on how they listen to you. He said, Bhagavatam recital doesn't depend on Vakta, but it depends on Shrota. So whatever the person is speaking may say, or whatever, however capable or incapable he is, but if that person is speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, it will benefit, provided the Shrota, the listeners, are listening attentively. And then Suridev said, a lot of people lend their ears equally. That means all the people who listen to Bhagavatam, they lend their ears to the listening process, to the Shravanam process. But they don't lend their mind and they don't lend their devotion. So some might take it in the right sense and some might not take it in the right sense. Some may be thinking, when is this class going to end? You know, so they are listening in that spirit, when is the class going to end? You know, some may forget the message, basically. The Vakta does not differentiate, but a Shrota differentiates. And therefore, according to the upbringing of the person, according to the culture of the person, according to the mood and the mindset of a person, the phala of hearing is different. And then Suryadev said, so the point is, listening is done by all, Shravanam is done by all, but Mananam is not done by all. Mananam is done by few people. So Mananam is not equal in everyone. Mananam means contemplation, basically. So Shravanam may be equal in everyone, but because Mananam is not equal in everyone, therefore there is a differentiation in the way in which one connects to Srimad Bhagavatam. And he said, not only by Shravanam, but the one who does Shravanam and Mananam, they reach Vaikuntha. So it's not that we just hear Bhagavatam just for the sake of it, but we actually meditate on the Bhagavatam and we absorb ourselves in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the best possible way. Srimad Bhagavatam is one of the most amazing scriptures in the world. We know it is Krishna, but how much do we actually realize it is Krishna? I'm going to share with you all a story from Vrindavan. This is a story happened in 1826. It's a very old story of one of the Babas of Vrindavan. And this is a fascinating story of a Baba named Avadh Das Baba. So, this Baba was born in a Brahmin family. And he was born in a particular district in Bihar. And this particular district in Bihar was fortunate to have the visit of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You know, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, on his way to Gaya, he passed through this village. I mean, we heard of stories of how Mahaprabhu would go to one village and inundate a whole village with Krishna Prem, you know. This is one of those villages where Mahaprabhu passed by. And this Baba was born in this particular village. And this Baba, he renounced, his worldly life in a very early age and took initiation from one sadhu named Harikinkar. And he remained in the ashram of this Harikinkarji for a long time, as long as Harikinkarji was alive. And eventually, under the tutelage of Harikinkarji, Avadh Das Baba, he began to study Srimad Bhagavatam. And he loved the Bhagavatam so much that in a matter of some time, he had learnt all the 18,000 verses of Bhagavatam by heart. He knew every single verse of Srimad Bhagavatam by heart. And then when his guru left his body, Avadh Das Baba went to Vrindavan. And he began to live in a small hut in Vrindavan. And that hut became his ashram. And he came out of that hut only two times a year. One was on the occasion of the anniversary of Sri Madhvacharya. And second was on the occasion of the anniversary of his own guru, Harikinkarji. And those 2 days, he would lead Nagar Kirtan on the streets of Vrindavan. And the rest of the time, he remained in his house, in a small ashram. All day long, he was reading Bhagavatam. Only 2 to 3 hours a day, he would actually sleep. And the fascinating way in which he would recite the Bhagavatam was, you turn the pages of Bhagavatam, without looking at the pages, you would recite every verse in that page. You would turn the next page, you keep reciting, just turn the pages, Bhagavatam, one after another, and keep reciting the verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. He knew all the shlokas by heart, and he knew which shloka began in the beginning of the page, and which shloka ended the end of the page. He knew it by heart, basically. So, for him, Srimad Bhagavatam was Krishna. And you know what the most amazing thing is? He worshipped Srimad Bhagavatam the way we worship deities. So for him, his murti was Srimad Bhagavatam. And he wrapped it in a silk wrapper. He placed it on a decorated simhasan. And he would offer prasad. He would offer bhoga to Srimad Bhagavatam. And he would eat the prasad offered to Srimad Bhagavatam. Imagine, you know. What kind of conviction and faith he had. You do arti to Srimad Bhagavatam every day. And when it would be hot summer in Vrindavan, he would fan the Srimad Bhagavatam, You do chamar to Srimad Bhagavatam to cool the Srimad Bhagavatam down. And when it was cold winter in Vrindavan, he would cover the Bhagavatam with a quilt, giving it warmth. And during the rainy season, he made a swing for Srimad Bhagavatam and he would do jhula. What we do, arrangement of Radha Krishna pastimes, he would do the same for Srimad Bhagavatam, basically. And when anyone ever entered into the ashram, they would find him either reading Srimad Bhagavatam or talking about Srimad Bhagavatam. And he hardly allowed anyone to talk to him about anything else. all day, all night. This was only meditation, basically. Once, a young man came from Vrindavan and he heard about this particular great saint, Avadha Baba. And he had heard in his, from some sadhu, that if one eats the food remnants of a Siddha saint, somebody who is who has attained perfection, then they will attain darshan of Radha Krishna. So then someone told him about Avadha Baba, and they told him that Avadha Baba has definitely attained the favor of Radha Krishna. So this man came straight to the ashram of Avadha Baba. And at that time, Avadha Baba was eating prasad. This young man went and sat straight in front of Avadha Baba. And he told Avadha Baba that, please, can you give me some little prasad? I want to eat remnants from your plate of prasad. So Avadha Baba was least bothered, and his disciples had warned this young man, don't go there, But he still insisted and he went inside and sat there. And because Baba was meditating on some darshan of Krishna, he was just absorbed, he was eating and he was absorbed in something. And the Baba did not even hear. So this young man thought the Baba is not interested in hearing him, and not interested in fulfilling his desire. So this man, he put his hand inside the prasad, he straight away took one morsel, he was going to start eating the prasad. The Baba suddenly caught his hand. And, this man was stunned. And before this man could realize it, Baba took prasad from in his own hand and put it in the mouth of this man. Straight, And as soon as the prasad entered the mouth of this man fell unconscious. He just collapsed. He just fell unconscious there only. And he remained unconscious till late in the evening. So, Baba, by that time, he had finished his daily routine of reading Srimad Bhagavatam. And in the evening, there were many sadhus who had come to listen to the Baba speak Srimad Bhagavatam. And they saw this fellow lying down over there, from afternoon to evening, he's just lying unconscious over there. So Baba told all the sadhus, do kirtan. And all of them began to, sing kirtan. And as soon as kirtan began, this boy got up. He was bewildered, he was like totally bewildered. And he fell at the feet of the Baba, caught the feet of Baba, and he said, please give me your shelter. And he said, I have made a big offense, please forgive me for it. And he said, I don't want to leave you ever from now onwards. Please accept me as your disciple. And then the Baba not only pardoned him, but he also gave him initiation. And Baba took the entire responsibility of this person on himself. Eventually, one of the sadhus who was there in that assembly asked this young man, what happened when you fainted? What did you experience when you fainted, when you became unconscious? This man replied, as soon as that prasad of the Baba went into my mouth, I was transported to another region. And in that region, I saw there was the pastime of Krishna going on, of Krishna eating food, Bhojan Leela of Krishna. And Krishna and my guru Baba, they were sitting together, surrounded by all the gopas. And Krishna was feeding the Baba of prasad, and Baba was feeding Krishna prasad. This was going on. So he saw this in his vision, basically. And that's how this person experienced Krishna Leela. Now imagine, what is the Baba doing? Baba is sitting and reading Srimad Bhagavatam. That's all. He doesn't seem to be doing so many big things. He's not traveling around the world. He's not doing anything big as such. Sitting in one small house and reading Bhagavatam 24 hours. That's all Baba is doing. And look at the access that Baba has for the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. One time, one Bengali man came to take initiation from this Baba. And eventually he began to, stay with this Baba in the ashram. But somehow this man was very unsteady, he was like moving around here and there, he couldn't stay in one place. After some time he told the Baba, can I give me permission, I want to go and come back, I want to roam around the country. So this man packed up, so Baba, he didn't give him permission, he said, just stay here, don't go anywhere else. This man, he just couldn't, stay. One day he packed up his bag and he was leaving. Baba asked him, where are you going? He said, no, I'm going to roam here and there and I'll come back after some time, you know. So Baba cautioned him. He said, you're disobeying the orders of the Guru and roaming around like a monkey. He said like this, you know. And this man anyway, he said, I have obeyed the Guru for a long time. Now I want to, you know, I don't want to obey him all my life. And he went away from there. For many years, nobody heard about this man. One day, as this Baba was sitting and, you know, doing japa, chanting the holy names of the Lord, one young monkey came and caught hold of the feet of Baba. And immediately Baba understood, this is a Bengali disciple, you know, who had left me and gone. And this Baba began to speak to this monkey. And he told him, you have done well by coming back. He said, now you just stay here. I will feed you. You hear Bhagavatam from me all day long. And that monkey remained in the ashram of this Baba for many, many years. Just sitting there all day. Two times a day, the monkey would come down during the prasad time. They would feed him. And again, he would go back and sit on the roof and hear the Baba all day long. For 2 days, at a stretch, Baba didn't see the monkey come. So he asked his disciple to find out what is happening. And then they went on top. They saw the monkey was lying dead on the terrace of that building. And Baba said, this monkey is a Vaishnava. You should give him the departure of a Vaishnava. And they actually took this monkey on a palki, you know, when in Vrindavan, when a Vaishnava departs, they actually give a procession in a palki. And they took this monkey on a palki and they did a Nagar Sankirtan all the way till the Yamuna River and immersed the monkey into the Yamuna River. And that's how this monkey attained his perfection. One day, this Baba had a very unusual darshan of Krishna. And this is a very striking example of Krishna's connection with Srimad Bhagavatam. He saw that Krishna was doing parikrama of Srimad Bhagavatam. We doing parikrama of Srimad Bhagavatam is understandable, you know. But this Baba actually saw Krishna doing parikrama of Srimad Bhagavatam. And that was when he realized that Srimad Bhagavatam is not only the manifestation of Krishna in words, it is a manifestation of the love of Krishna. So, Prem is the destination that all of us as sadhakas are trying to attain. Not only for us, it is a destination. Even for Krishna, it is a destination. So, Krishna is going around doing parikrama of Srimad Bhagavatam because he wants to show the world that this is the most perfect way of connecting with me. All of us are so very fortunate that we have access to this same very Srimad Bhagavatam that such exalted souls have got benefited by. Unfortunately for us, the way we connect with Srimad Bhagavatam is on a very superficial level, and many times we take it for granted. Bhagavatam class is going on, you know. But we don't realize that the depth of the content of the Bhagavatam, it is non-different from Krishna. The seriousness with which we take our chanting, the seriousness with which we take the deity worship, that is a seriousness, and if not much, much more, the seriousness with which we hear and study the Srimad Bhagavatam. Today is a very, very auspicious occasion of Bhadra Purnima, and not only today, but every single day, we should ideally worship, celebrate, read, recite, and share the Srimad Bhagavatam with the world. The Srimad Bhagavatam is come as a savior for society. And as much as we can propagate the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is about Krishna, words spoken by Krishna, which is Bhagavad Gita, and words spoken about Krishna, which is Srimad Bhagavatam, if we can propagate this as much as possible, probably we will have so many others who will get benefit of the greatness of this literature and attained the perfection of their life, which is prema. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Of course, what I have spoken is pretty on a theoretical level. I pray to all of you all that give me blessings that I can realize the content of what I spoke and also take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam in that spirit. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.
Yeah, I can take questions.
Anybody has any questions, please?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.